Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, and that means Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, a licensed and marriage family therapist with The Growing Place, joins us. And good morning to you, Gidi. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Doing well. This topic that we've been discussing for now, this is our second week, is right in your wheelhouse. The 10 things that make couples successful, successful couples, successful relationships, happy couples. We've gone through three. Go to bed at the same time. No TV in the bedroom. You know, no books, no computers, no iPhones, just the two of you. The better connect. Number two, cultivate some common interests or new common interests. You know, care about what the other person is doing and really care. Number three, walk hand in hand or side by side. This is something that's also preferred.
Yes.
But the fourth one now seems to be, would be, there's 10 in all, but number four we're going to spend the whole show on because it's probably the most important.
I think it is, and it's also probably the hardest. And number four is make trust and forgiveness your natural default. Mm-hmm. That those words, natural default, that's, trust and forgiveness, that's pretty tall order.
Yeah, I can figure trust and forgiveness, but a natural default.
That's something very intentional and needs to be worked on. You don't just by accident land in this spot.
Okay, trust ends when somebody lies or deceives and does something to hurt the other partner. The most obvious situation would be somebody who engages in an extramarital affair.
Right. I would put it a little differently. No? I would say if left unresolved and unaddressed, trust ends when one party betrays the other.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
But if left alone, because there's always going to be times when we disappoint each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying having extramarital affairs or something, but although that does happen in marriages.
So it doesn't have to be anything that egregious.
No. Okay. It doesn't. It can be, and it's always the everyday things that seem to irritate the most.
Okay.
Because they're repetitive.
Okay.
And people tend to build up grudges and resentments, and then the little thing happens again. It's like the avalanche, that final little bit that drops and the whole mountainside comes down. So making it the default, what do we mean by default? It means what we naturally go to without thinking. It's habitual. It's a conscious choice that we've cultivated, and now we go there by default. Trust and forgiveness were not born that way. That's something that really needs to be built into a marriage.
Okay, so we're talking about trust and forgiveness. Do you think that when the couples that you see, and of course you can't give out any details or specifics, but do you generally see that couples don't trust one another?
I think that most couples have areas of trust and distrust. And, excuse me, it can be based, well, let's say the wife had a father who was a philanderer when she was growing up. She's coming into the marriage with some preconceived ideas about men and their trustworthiness.
Right.
So if her husband comes home late or there's an unexplained charge on the credit card, you know, it may arouse or activate this childhood mindset that men cannot be trusted.
So that trust might not necessarily be a result of something that the other person, the partner, has done. It could be something that was brought into the relationship.
Exactly. Most of the issues I deal with when couples are fighting is usually all the baggage they brought into the relationship. It could also be that, you know, one member of the marriage, whether it was the husband or the wife, could have committed infidelity or, you know, the husband could be inattentive, always on the computer, or the wife could be addicted to shopping and putting the family in debt more and more and more. Those are issues that come up too. But behind those addictions, behind those behaviors, I have often found unresolved childhood issues, that those behaviors are really a reaction to something before the marriage. And not necessarily, although it could be, not necessarily the marriage itself.
Could trust ever be, we probably discussed this in our many discussions, can trust ever be, well, where do you go here? Because we're talking about two different types of trust. Trust that one of the partners is to blame for, and trust in which maybe the other partner had really nothing to do with.
Has never even developed that kind of trust for anybody, and now is expected to develop it for the spouse. So there's all kinds of trust issues that go on. And we also have expectations, and that really feeds into trust. Sometimes we feel our trust is violated because we have an unreal expectation.
You know, as you were saying that, we only have another 30 seconds left in this segment, but the number four, which is one of the most important ones that we've gone through thus far, make trust and forgiveness your natural default. The prior three, if done properly, would strengthen the fourth one.
Yes.
If you're going to bed at the same time, you're not watching TV in the bedroom.
Right. The listeners didn't see that look, but I did.
If you cultivate some common interest, and if you walk hand in hand, side by side, number four kind of works itself out.
It would be easier to glide into number four, but there's still going to be work to do.
Okay. All right. We're going to continue talking about that, making trust and forgiveness our natural default in our relationships with our spouses. We'll continue our discussion with Dee Dee Hanson, The Growing Place, right after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
So wake me up when it's over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself.
This is based on real research. And hopefully we're able to hear all that. We're talking to Dee Dee Hanson of The Growing Place about the 10 things that make couples happy. We've been doing this now for our second day. And the most important is number four on the list. And let's just very briefly recap. Go to the bed at the same time, no TV. Cultivate some common interests. Walk hand in hand or side by side. And now make trust and forgiveness our natural default position. Dee Dee Hanson of The Growing Place.
Yes. Yes, and so we were saying before that sometimes people have to learn trust for the first time, and other times trust has been broken actually in the marriage. I was starting to say before the break, sometimes we perceive that our trust has been broken because we have unreal expectations.
Okay.
For example, if I have the unreal expectation that my husband should always be home by 5:30, and he's not always because of his job, because of traffic, who knows why, because he wanted to stop at the store and get some new shoes, who knows what it is. But if every time he's 1 minute past the time I expect him to be home, my mind starts creating scenarios about how he's betraying me or you know, you'd be surprised how many clients I have would tell me they worry about loved ones dying if they're not home at a certain time.
I'm in that group. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I worry about car accidents. I worry about because of my profession. I see so many car accidents and I see so many deadly accidents.
Yes.
If my wife is not home, I expect to call.
Yes.
I'm to the point now where I say, if you're going to be home at 5 o'clock and you're here, you're 15 minutes late. You know, nowadays it doesn't take that much time just to hit a note and say,
or a text or something,
a quick text. So I'm kind of with people on that one.
Right. Just as long as you realize life happens.
And, I understand.
And life happens, you know, for you too.
Right.
You know, right. And for me, I'm not worried when we're both in town. I get worried when he's traveling and I'm at home.
Right.
Even though they say that most accidents happen within 25 miles of home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you heard the story of the guy who moved. He moved out of this beautiful home that he had, and he moved into this little fixer-upper. And his friends say, "Why did you move?" And he said, "Well, I read that accidents happen within 25 miles of home, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't going to happen."
So,
where we are the most is where the accidents are likely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, it just takes trust, and maybe we should add trust God as a natural default.
Okay.
And just whatever's going to happen will happen, and to realize I'm not in control of the universe, and I'm not in control of life and death.
Let's get to the other half of this.
Okay.
Make trust and forgiveness your natural default.
Yes.
I say a lot, you cannot love without forgiveness, and you cannot have forgiveness without love. I think the two are joined at the
hip.
I
think that's very wise.
I really do think they're joined at the hip. I'm not just saying that trying to be poetic or anything. I really don't think you could love somebody unless you could truly forgive them.
I think you
could forgive and not love, I suppose.
But yes, you could.
You could forgive.
Yes.
But real love in a marriage requires absolute forgiveness.
Yeah,
as long as the person who's asking forgiveness is sincere in their regret.
Yeah, and I don't know about absolute forgiveness, but it requires a measure of forgiveness.
Okay.
It really does. And again, a lot of that has to do with expectations.
Uh-huh.
Some of our expectations are realistic, like we took vows on our wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
And you broke your vow. I mean, that's a real expectation.
Mm-hmm.
But an unreal expectation can be all kinds of things, like, you know, I don't want you talking to other women, or I don't want you talking to other men, or, you know, these unreal things that just can't happen in this life.
That brings up something interesting. I don't want to get on a tangent because we have one more segment. I think it's worth it. About a month ago, Vice President Mike Pence something came out about his relationship with his wife, where that he would not have, you know, even business meetings with other women, or dance with another woman, even when she's present, and certain rules about that kind of thing. I don't have a problem with it. It seems a little extreme to me. It wouldn't bother me if my wife had a business meal with a coworker who was a man. That wouldn't bother me. I don't think it would. Where do you fall on something like that?
Well, I think I don't want to make rules for couples.
Mm-hmm.
I think every couple needs to find where their comfort level is.
Okay.
And if the Pences, that's where their comfort level is, then more power to them. And where you and Kelly are, and you're comfortable with that, then I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, okay.
I don't think it's something we could prescribe for everyone.
Right, right.
People, and that's the good point that you bring up, because people need to work those things out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't get betrayed.
Okay, so we're talking about forgiveness, and we only have about another...
I think the hardest thing to forgive is adultery.
That would be it.
That is the ultimate betrayal.
Right.
And we do see couples where that has happened not once, not twice, but multiple times. And it's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about third parties, you know, pornography addiction is a form of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus said, just contemplating it in your mind is the same as the act.
Right.
He said in the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a raging problem in our culture and also in our churches.
It is.
Even among our pastors.
Make trust in forgiveness your natural default. And that's what we're going to, the last part's what we're going to finish up the show with. Natural default. We know what trust is. We know what forgiveness is. What does it mean to make it your natural default? We'll wrap things up after this break.
We've come a long, long way together. Through the hard times.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're finishing up the last leg of our discussion today with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, a licensed marriage and family therapist whose phone number is 588-0448. And you can also go to The Growing Place's website, tgplace.org. We've been talking about the characteristics, the 10 things that that happy, successful couples do in their lives. And probably the most important one we've been discussing is number 4, which is make trust and forgiveness your natural default.
Yes, yes.
Okay, what does it mean, natural default?
It means something that you have cultivated in yourself that is so habitual that you just go there like gravity pulling you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you fight for or strive for, although at times we do struggle with forgiving because we've been injured.
Is it easier for couples who are Christians in particular to develop this forgiveness quality?
I know it's easier for me. I couldn't speak for others, but I know it's easier for me because when I'm getting hard-hearted mm-hmm. and unwilling to forgive, all the Holy Spirit has to do is just tap me on the shoulder and say, oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, what about all the stuff I've forgiven you?
Mm-hmm.
And that immediately changes my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, okay, when I'm not forgiving, I think I'm better than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that God has forgiven me equalizes the playing field, and it makes it easier for me to extend that forgiveness.
Is it correct to say that if somebody doesn't forgive you, that person is less likely, will be forgiven the exact same way? Because when we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive others, isn't what God is telling us is, however you forgive your neighbor, that's exactly how I'm going to forgive you.
That's exactly what Jesus said after he gave us that prayer in the Sermon on the Mount.
That's a tough one.
But he said, if you forgive, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And if you forgive not, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. He says it plain as day.
Mm-hmm.
So if we hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, we're really hurting ourselves.
Jesus will hold on to the unforgiveness too then, wouldn't he? Jesus would say, you know what? But that's we don't want to think like
it
that.
It doesn't do we? Hold it. That passage doesn't mean, let's say A does not forgive B doesn't mean that God won't forgive B.
Uh-huh.
God can still forgive B if B
right.
repents. But what it's saying is A, you've got a heart problem and you can't expect God to forgive you if you're not willing to extend it.
Okay, gotcha.
To others.
Yes.
And so a lot of times when I have difficulty forgiving, and I have struggled with this in the past,
mm-hmm.
I just say, Lord, fill my heart with your love and forgiveness mm-hmm. that you have for such and such or so and so, because I don't have it.
Right.
I have nothing. In fact, I hate that person.
Right.
And I ask you to please forgive me for this hatred and take it away. I cannot manufacture the love and forgiveness for this person.
Right.
I need you to flow through me. And he does. And I tell you, Jerry, it feels so much better than that hatred.
Oh, it sure does. Could this type of we only have about three more minutes. How this affects inside of a marriage, though?
Oh, it can really ruin a marriage. It can create such bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't forgive, we become candidates for the bitter roots that's talked about in Hebrews 12, where it says that it's an unseen contaminant mm-hmm. that pollutes many people. When I hold on to unforgiveness, I become like active uranium, and I'm sending out poison and toxins into the air.
How about forgiving and forgetting? Like saying that, okay, that never happened. That's the ultimate forgiveness, isn't it?
Maybe. I would say forgive and remember so that you don't end up in that situation again.
Okay.
You know, like I deal with a lot of survivors of childhood sexual abuse.
Uh-huh.
And they were conditioned to be abused.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say, yes, forgive your abusers, but remember that conditioning and don't go there again. Remember this abuse so that you do not put yourself in that position again.
Let's give an example. Somebody, during the course of an argument, a couple, one person in the couple uses a bad name and calls the other person a bad name. That's
okay.
That probably happens. I hope it happens. You know, I'm not the only person where that's happened at, but I'm sure that happens a lot. Someone's sorry, they forgive, and then it gets brought up again 5 years later.
Okay.
Sometimes
that happens because the injury has not healed.
Okay.
Let's pretend, you know, your spouse is the wall.
Right.
And you bang on the wall and you make a hole in it. And then you say to the wall, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the wall says, I forgive you. And then 3 months later, you bang on the wall and there's another hole. Now there's two holes and there's three and there's four.
Yeah.
And sometimes people can't forgive because they haven't been healed of the injury of those words and actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And maybe they even want to forgive, but they're walking around with all this pain.
Okay.
That's a time to process with God through meditation or with your counselor.
We have about a minute left. Make sure we get the final thoughts that you want to get brought in here.
Yes, my final thoughts are to make this your natural default, it has to be intentional. Mm-hmm. It has to be practiced. It has to be brought out into the open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sweeping things under the carpet and saying, I forgive you, is not dealing with the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be dealt with. It's important for the spouse who has been injured to show that pain to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And for the other one to truly be remorseful.
Mm-hmm.
And not think, oh, all I have to do is do whatever I want and then just say I'm sorry and they have to put up with it.
Right.
That's not really being sorry.
There has to be some effort involved in it.
Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to the next ones. We have many more to go through. We're going to pick up. If we only have a few more seconds left, I want to make sure. Did we cover this thing?
I think as much as could be covered in a show. Yeah.
Right.
There's more issues here, I would say people go to your counselors or to your priest or pastor.
And with that in mind, I will give you Gidi, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Gidi Hansen is at The Growing Place. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. If you'd like to make an appointment with her or one of their other counselors or life coaches, you can give a call to The Growing Place at 588-0448, 588-0448. What an interesting discussion this has been. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time, and have a good rest of your day. So long, everybody.